In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep. Though poppies grow in Flanders field.
We'll never have a future if we don't remember the past.
At the 11th hour, 11th day of the 11th month, the guns of the Great War at last fell silent. The fury of conflict was replaced by a deafening silence.
Today it is fitting that, with this ceremony of rededication, we pay tribute to all those Canadians who in the intervening years have laid down their lives in the service of peace, justice, and freedom.
From the violence that transformed this national memorial to military sacrifice into a place of military sacrifice. A place where an unknown soldier and a soldier now known to us all lay side by side in death, having accepted to bravely stand on guard for our nation and for its values, rights, and freedoms. We remember them, O God.
In 1939, Germany attacked Poland during World War II. This war ended in 1945. As a result of this attack, Polish soldiers established military units. My great-grandfather, Wojciech Majewski, pseudonym Jaksa, fought as a soldier against the Germans. Wojciech Majewski was recognized for his military contributions, along with the establishment of a very successful military unit in Poland. As a result of fighting for Poland, my great-grandfather, Wojciech Majewski, was also recognized by the Polish government. He received an honorary title for his achievements and contributions to the military.
Wojciech Majewski, pseudonim Jaksa, oznaczony orderem Virtuti Militari, krzyżem walecznych po raz pierwszy, drugi i trzeci, złotym krzyżem z mieczami oraz krzyżem partyzanckim, grupy dywersyjnej i oddziałów partyzanckich.
A book was published about my great-grandfather, Wojciech Majewski, called Walki Partyzanckie nad Nidą. 1939 to 1945. Wydana przez Wojskowy Instytut Historyczny. Wydawnictwo Ministerstwa Obrony Narodowej. Autor książki Władysław Ważniewski. Welcome. Today is Remembrance Day. Please take the time to remember all of the members of the armed forces who have died serving in the line of duty. Please also remember all of the soldiers who continue to fight and make the sacrifices for all of us. Today I'll be interviewing the co-chair of security studies and chief of publications at the Royal Canadian Military Institute, Mr. Eric Morse. He is also a senior fellow here at the NATO Association of Canada. Mr. Morse is a top-flight strategic analyst capable of expressing and synthesizing a position with clarity. He has great situational awareness as to how a policy can be executed. Mr. Morse has dedicated a lifelong vocation toward Roman policy studies, which have given birth to a book on imperial interactions on the frontiers. Roman Spaces: Essays Around an Empire by Mr. Morse include essays which explore aspects of Roman imperial history. These essays also define some of the experiences that we and our remote historic ancestors may have in common. I'd like to begin by thanking you, Eric, very much for joining us today.
pleasure.
In addition, I'd like to start off by asking you a few questions. So, Eric, you're presently the co-chair of security studies at the Royal Canadian Military Institute. Please discuss the significance of the Royal Canadian Military Institute and its role in educating the Canadian public in regards to Canadian defense and security issues today.
So the RCMI has a very interesting, quite lengthy history behind it. This is our 125th anniversary year, and we are very much a heritage and legacy institution. We were founded in 1890 by the officers of the Toronto Garrison, who had basically just returned from the Riel Rebellion in the West, and realized among themselves that if they waited for Ottawa to teach them anything about soldiering, they would wait forever. So they founded a self-help and self-education organization called the Canadian Military Institute. And gradually it grew, and it accumulated a library, and it accumulated a museum, and it accumulated the amenities without which life as an officer of the garrison was not possible. That is to say, a building and a dining room and a bar. And it's been going ever since, and it succeeded enough in its original mission that it got the officers of the garrison, who, remember, are all civilian. They're all captains of industry, bankers, lawyers, doctors, what have you. It got them through the Boer War and through the first year of World War I until formal training could be put in place for officers. And then it continued as part of the community life of Toronto. It provided a few ministers of militia and ministers of defense during the interwar years. And it's been going ever since. And we are a non-profit, entirely privately member-funded organization. Our mandate is to help educate Canadians in military and security affairs. And very much like the NATO Council and like the Canadian International Council and a couple of other organizations, we are we exist in kind of a gray area. We are a private sector think tank dedicated to foreign affairs and defense and security, and there are not very many of those in Canada, as opposed to the United States, where there are many. And part of that is there's a different funding and taxation model for nonprofits in Canada and the United States. We do our best. We organize conferences, roundtables. We have military history nights. And we collaborate with other like-minded organizations like the NATO Council, the NATO Association.
Right. Eric, you're also a senior fellow here at the NATO Association of Canada. Can you please discuss the significance of this association?
So the difference between the NATO Association and something like RCMI or CIC is that the NATO Association is formally integrated into the general NATO public affairs structure. It exists to publicize and encourage support for the NATO alliance within Canada. It receives a certain amount of direct funding from NATO. And so it has a more narrowly defined goal than some of the other organizations like RCMI, for instance. But one of the things that we all have in common, and it's becoming increasingly apparent, is that we all try to encourage writing and research and public discourse among younger scholars.
I think that's very crucial in today's world to have young people actively involved in international affairs and relations. I know previously you mentioned that the Royal Canadian Military Institute educates youth about military and security affairs, which is highly crucial. What would you say in today's world would be the biggest problem in terms of security issues in Canada?
That can come in, kick in at a number of levels, but I would have to say, especially looking at the past election campaign, that simple awareness is the crucial security issue. You have so much high-pressure fear-mongering going on at various levels that it's very hard to penetrate to genuine security issues. And one point that I forgot to mention about RCMI is that we do maintain a journal called SITREP. It comes out every 2 months. And it is an article of views, or an article. It is a journal of views and opinions, one notch below scholarly, which means we make the contributors remove the scholarly apparatus from the articles before they submit them. But it is another outlet for younger scholars to get themselves published.
I think that's a great opportunity for today's youth to be involved and to pursue publication.
One of the reasons that we're fairly insistent on stripping out the academic panoply is that, one, space, we don't have room for 150 footnotes. And two, if a young scholar is ever going to get read and noticed outside academe, he's going to do it without that.
Absolutely. Eric, I wanted to talk to you about a book that you published called Roman Spaces, Essays Around an Empire. What are some of the experiences that we and our remote historic ancestors have in common?
It's an interesting question, and I'd start with the first quote in the first chapter of the book, which is one that Margaret Macmillan very graciously dropped on me in a question period at the Monk as I was writing it, which is, you can find anything you like in the past, but the thing that you take away from a considered view study of classical history is how much human and political experience we have in common with them. There are parts of history that we find more difficult to grasp as moderns, and some of those are far more modern than the Roman Empire, like, for instance, 17th century Europe, although the Middle East of today may be reverting to that status of being faster than we'd like to think. But when you look back over the problems that the Roman state had in providing governance for and defense for an empire that really is the only example of a united Europe in human history, you find that we have a lot more common with them than we might think. And one of the reasons that we might not believe that going in is that classical studies, as it emerged in the 18th and 19th century, came out of philology and language studies and literature, and really existed in a bubble of its own until just after World War I, some of the classical historians began noticing experiences post-Versailles especially, and realizing, wait a minute, we've seen the same thing in classical studies.